Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome. Haere mai. This is Emergence News. My name is Nigel and we bring you this program, this podcast on Plains Media, Substack, Apple Podcasts and also online at the Share International New Zealand website. Today in the studio we feature two men in the studio. Their names are John and Peter. Good morning, chaps.
Morning. Morning.
Good morning, Nigel.
Good morning, Nigel.
Now, John.
What? Sorry.
You're our wordsmith.
Oh, yes.
Etymology.
Yes. Oh, okay.
The origin and evolution of words. I thought we're later, Peter's talking about evolution.
It's one of the things I'm on the planet for.
to grow and develop and get
to grow and develop my language. Yeah.
And become less grumpy. And Peter, have you done any mathematics? In 2028, you will have been on air at this radio station for 40 years.
Help.
Oh, wow.
The ageless Peter Jenkins.
Oh, I told you what, he's older than he looks.
Look, you're going to need more than that gold disc that's hanging in your garage,
yeah.
Aren't you?
Yes, well, I wish I knew a wee bit about the technical side that you know, Nigel. I think that's particularly important.
Yeah, it's fun, actually.
Yeah.
It looks a little bit daunting initially, but it's a great way to be creatively involved in a project like this.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, 40 years at this radio station, you should be on the payroll by now.
Yes, I don't know whether there's any pay involved anywhere along the way. I haven't sort of stumbled across anything.
Well, we do call ourselves volunteers, so I guess that...
No money has changed hands in the making of this program.
So true.
Now, John, back to you briefly. We're talking about initiation,
yes,
today, which is part of the evolutionary process,
yes,
of the human being.
Yes.
You've got an intro there for us.
Yes, I have. And I was mistaken because I thought it was pretty straightforward. But the evolutionary process on this planet and all planets is not straightforward. It is a complicated process. But I've gone to my transmission volume 1, which is Peter's Bible, and I've gone to page 152, and it's chapter 5, Evolution and Initiation. And Benjamin Creme starts with, the process of evolution takes place alike on individual planetary and on cosmic levels. You know, so we've talked about in the micro, so in the macro, so in the micro. Mm. So how we evolve as humans is the same process as how divine beings evolve, is the same process as how solar logos, planetary logos, cosmic logos.
So what you're saying is the laws of life are the same whatever planet you're on?
Yes.
Yes.
Look, Benjamin Creme goes on to say, we are essentially monads or sparks of God demonstrating divinity at our tiny individual level. And when you look out on the planet today, there's an awful lot of tiny individual stuff going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
And Benjamin Creme goes on to say, we have within us the potentiality of all divinity and the process presented to us to demonstrate that divinity is rebirth. Rebirth is a process which allows God, through an agent, ourselves, to bring itself down to its polar opposite, matter, in order to bring that matter back into itself, totally imbued with its nature. So he's also said that humanity exists on the horizon between spirit and matter, and we are like stitching the two together. Right? We are the activity at that level. And what we're doing is we come into matter as sparks of divinity to turn that matter into spirit, to become enlightened.
Yeah, to spiritualize matter.
Yes. Yes. And right. Peter, we've talked about Tokoji water being lighter than normal water.
That's right.
Yes. Right. So enlightenment is about bringing light into matter.
That's right.
So that's that spiritual process that we're involved in. However, it's mainly above our own pay grade. Cream goes on to describe we are either monads, either of will, of love, or intelligence. So that are the three rays, three major rays, right?
Yes.
The monads reflect themselves as souls, differentiating themselves into seven distinct energies or ray types. The soul, the true self, the inner man, demonstrates itself again on the physical plane, taking a personality of one or other of these energies, which may well change from life to life. It forms a mental body, an astral body, and a physical body, the rays of which may also change, running the gamut of these various types until it is built into its vehicle, the human in incarnation, all the qualities of all the rays, synthesized in the solar system by the second ray of love wisdom, which, Peter, is the ray structure of the logos of the solar system, right?
Yes, that's right.
In this way, the soul can demonstrate itself as love through its succeeding personality expressions more and more until it is doing so totally. So we are in this creative process. Being a human being on this ball of mud is being involved in the very essence of creation. He does finish that section by saying the nature of the soul is to love and to serve and to sacrifice itself for the plan of the Logos. Soul has no other purpose than to serve through love and sacrifice. And it is indeed the self-sacrificial will of the soul which brings it into incarnation.
That's pretty profound, isn't it? That
really
the soul has no other purpose
than to sacrifice itself
and serve
it for this creative process.
Yes.
This process, which I thought was quite simple, but is in fact actually quite complicated, of bringing spirit down, clothing it in matter so that it can spiritualize, Peter, as you said, the matter of the vehicle.
That's right.
And that's why we become enlightened. Mm. We're taking our physical body and enlightening it.
This is what we're talking about on the program today. And next, Peter has got an article by Benjamin Kremsmaster, and it's called At the Door of Initiation. And later on in the program, John, I want you to look up on the list of initiates.
Yeah.
I want you to look up the point of evolution of Plato, because I discovered a really interesting comment by Helena Blavatsky,
yes,
who was a co-founder of the Theosophical Society, and she's got a very interesting observation about Plato. But we'll talk about that later in the program. Over to you, Peter.
Okay. Well, as Nigel said, this is from Benjamin Krem. It's called At the Door of Initiation. It's by the master through Benjamin Krem. The purpose of hierarchy is to implement the plan of God. In this endeavor, they utilize all means open to them. Among many procedures of which they make use, that known as initiation is the most important. It takes precedence over all other measures and contains within it the requirements for all progress on this planet. Each initiation confers on the initiate a deeper understanding of the meanings and purpose behind God's plan, a fuller awareness of his part within that plan, and an increasing ability to work consciously and intelligently towards that fulfillment. There is no process on this earth that can take a man so swiftly and so surely to the mountaintop of liberation.
So that process, Peter, initiation, it's actually the last phase of the evolutionary process on the earth, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, humans have millions of years behind them of, you know, hundreds of thousands of lives, you might say.
Yeah.
And it's only towards the end that initiation becomes an issue. In fact, the body itself becomes more enlightened. By the fourth initiation, the individual concerned is actually three-quarters of light. His body is enlightened. It is made with subatomic particles of light and is not a dense physical body in the way that we know it.
So currently most of us
are still in the dense physical.
In the dense atomic substance, so to speak.
I had trouble getting out of bed this morning. My body's so dense. Look, this is what Ben says. Once again, page 153, to kind of round out what Peter's saying. When the individual is ready for training for the last few laps of the evolutionary marathon, so it is a marathon, Peter, the soul brings its vehicle, the man or woman, into meditation of some kind. That very first time, it might be a fleeting experience, but sooner or later, meditation becomes an important activity in the life, right? The soul does this in order to eventually grip its vehicle in such a way as to form a link, a channel through which it can send its energy and its nature into the vehicle and so work out its process.
And that's the antikarana.
Yes. The soul, when it takes incarnation, does so with certain plans and purposes. And the incarnation is the opportunity for the vehicle, us, to carry out the soul purpose. This occurs over and over again. And of course, the nearer you get to the final straight, the end of the marathon, the more correctly, the more fully will you be demonstrating the plans and purposes, the will of the soul. All we know of purpose and meaning in life comes from the soul level. Isn't that very cool? We think we're specks of dust. Actually, we're a divine mechanism.
Yes.
We're a little bit of software, a little bit of code in the global software floating around looking for a mission.
Mm. If you listen to our politicians and leaders, we think you'd think that we know what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't get me started.
Okay, Peter, would you continue with the article, please?
Yes, sure. Ancient origin. The process of initiation is of ancient origin. For millions of years, it has been the main stimulus behind man's evolution, and for those ready to accept its rigors and discipline, has provided a sure path of unfoldment of the inner divinity. Many today press close to the doors of initiation. It represents an enormous step towards a full expression of that divinity. It is a guarantee that the plan is working out, and is a sign that the methods used by hierarchy for millennia are successful and are bearing fruit. Over the centuries, it has been the habit of hierarchy to work from behind the scenes. Seldom has a master's functioned openly in the world. Through their disciples alone has been the main task of stimulus. Now all is changing. More and more the senior members of the hierarchy will take their place and give you the benefits of their wisdom and experience. Thus will it be brought to bear on humanity an enormous spiritual and stimulus which will sweep through the gates of initiation, millions now treading the first steps of the path. To help prepare the way for this time, much information has been released about the requirements for each initiatory experience, and aspirants should acquaint themselves with the details of the various stages and grades. It is not for nothing that this information has been given, and much may be learned of this deeply esoteric process by careful study and reflection.
Quick question, guys. The process of initiation is considered a deeply esoteric subject.
Yes.
So does that suggest that this information hasn't been open to the public, to the average citizen on Earth?
I think that when the last program we talked about what we didn't know, right? And if we were to write on a whiteboard what we know and what we don't know, what we know would be a little speck and what we don't know would be a massive big drawing.
The rest of the whiteboard.
The rest of the whiteboard, right? So those initiations are not in our common lexicon of humanity on this planet. Humanity doesn't know that we're involved in an evolutionary process. You say to most people, everything evolves.
Yeah.
They look at you like, I don't know. But Benjamin Creme says that the victory of the forces of evil, the victory of the masses of materialism, is they've got us so focused on the trough in front of us
yes.
that we've forgotten and moved away from this knowledge.
Yes, that's
right. Right? And they keep us enthralled. And we've talked about how they do that a number of times.
Yeah.
But we are being, I don't want to use the word forcibly.
Stimulated, yeah, isn't it?
Seduced to look away from our
right.
true heritage and our true life, because that would mean that your flat screen little friend would have less value to you. So that we keep consuming at the whim and will of the masses of materialism, which Creme describes as the forces of evil on this planet.
Peter said earlier that the aspirant should begin to study this process and familiarise yourself with the process of initiation. And the Tibetan master Dzogchen Khol says, I do not suggest that an attempt be made to place people and decide where they stand on the evolutionary ladder. It must be remembered that individual status is rigidly kept to oneself.
Let's be aware that this is the plane of demonstration. It's not who you are that's important, it's what you do.
Mm.
We as a culture spend far too much time going on about who we are.
That's right.
Oh, I have this condition. Oh, I have this going on. Yeah, oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. What are you doing with it? Nothing. You know, complacency. Benjamin Creme says the biggest issue for humanity
complacency.
Is complacency. Mm,
yeah.
And that's one of, I believe, one of the tricks of the Lords of Materialism. They've got us focused on this, oh, I need to define myself, rather than actually what are you doing for humanity?
Mm.
Are you serving? Are you following soul's purpose?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I need to find out who I am first. No, you don't. Just go down the road and help your neighbour.
Yep.
Right?
Mow the lawns for
your neighbour. Mow the lawns for your neighbour. Could someone come and mow my lawns?
Well, the point of evolution, according to the master DK, is demonstrated by a life of active, unselfish service.
Yeah, so
that's it succinctly put, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. But, you know, also they're talking about schools in the new age. The teachers will need to know the point of evolution of,
yeah.
of their pupils.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so that information can be given out, but sparingly, I imagine. And
well, we need to grow up before we take on that kind of responsibility.
Yes, that's right. But, you know, if the teacher has to know to – you know, get the education suitable for the child, they need to know their point of evolution, because they need to stream their education in around what they already know
yeah.
by their point of yeah. evolution.
And I guess on an even more subtle level, having a indication of the individual race of a child would be very beneficial.
Yeah. Yes, that's
to
right.
the teaching
the
profession.
The race structure
yeah.
is going to be something that teachers will be trained into, you know, finding out what the race structure of their pupils is. It's a big ask, actually. If you look at today's education and the teachers and that sort of thing, they are going to have to be very much more educated in all sorts of areas, aren't they?
Mm. I think, but the message I get from Benjamin Creme constantly, and it may be just me because I feel guilty about not doing enough, but he kind of encapsulates the philosophy by saying, stop navel-gazing and do something.
Mm.
You know, stop navel-gazing and serve humanity.
All right, Peter, you've got one further stanza to this article.
Yes, the Hierophant. The Christ stands ready to begin his work. As the Hierophant of the first and second initiations, his task will be to perform the esoteric practices and ceremonials connected with this ancient science and to reveal to the astonished eyes of the initiate the secrets hidden therein. Then he will perform today on the inner planes, but from this time forth he will gather together in groups all who are ready to receive the fire of the rod on the physical plane and thus set the seal on their achievement. Thus will it be completed, the task of the Christ, the outer manifestation of the kingdom of God.
So what's your interpretation of that, Peter? Are we talking about a major step forward in evolution between hierarchy and the human being over the next 2,500 years?
Well, this is right. In many of the teachings of Joel Kuhl, he talks about the initiations, and they have all been done privately while somebody is in a physical body, but while they're asleep. And so they remember very little about it, unfortunately. Mm. And so it will become known to be like a physical activity, because the first initiation is about the physical body, about the control of the devic lives that make up the body, because the body is not us.
Right, you know. We are a soul in incarnation.
Yeah.
Now, John, tell me, in layman's terms, what is an initiate? When people hear us talk about an initiate or a great initiate on this program, what are we saying?
The Glossary of Esoteric Terms talks about initiation and talks about a disciple. So initiation, a voluntary process, I think it's a key idea, a voluntary process whereby successive and graded stages of unification and at-one-ment take place between the man or woman in incarnation, his or her soul, and the divine monad or spark of God. Each stage confers on the initiate a deeper understanding of the meaning and purpose of God's plan, a fuller awareness of his or her partner plan, and an increasing ability to work consciously and intelligently towards its fulfillment. And if I go and look for disciple, disciple is one who is pledged to serve the plan and has accepted the discipline required to take a hand in his own evolution, living and working as a soul and serving humanity. So that tells you that a disciple is a conscious initiate. Mm. Do you remember we've talked about conscious and unconscious initiates? Mm. Some people are highly evolved and don't know it. Some people are so focused on the external life that they don't ever think about meditation, or they don't ever think about their soul. They're so focused. They're movers and shakers, right? And some people on an inner stroke are more conscious.
Yes.
So you would describe them as a disciple.
Because a conscious disciple.
Because they are practicing the disciplines of discipleship.
That's right. And it's the ray structure, isn't it, John? I mean, the 2-4-6 rays of soul are actually more inclined to be meditative types.
Yeah, I think so, Peter. And I think the ray one is more likely to be externally focused.
Yes, yes, certainly. And ray three is very predominant in humanity and is certainly not focused on meditation at all.
Yeah.
And ray three being predominant in humanity makes sense, because that's what the planet ray is.
The planet is ray three,
so that makes,
that's right.
Yes.
But even though the lord of the world is ray two, Senet Kumara.
Does the ray three in humanity, is that why we are focused and infatuated by technology?
Well, yes, and it's a correct thing to be focused on at this time, but we need to integrate the other rays and the other ideas about meditation and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the scientists often could be disciples, could be initiates, because they're well-developed, but they have no concept of the memory of, meditation.
Well, and also no love. If you get totally focused in your topic, do you forget to apply humanity and compassion to
often,
it?
Often, yes.
Do we need to bring out of the ice a dinosaur just because we can? No, we don't.
No.
Okay, time's running out, guys. John, Plato as an initiate.
Plato.
Point of evolution, please.
Plato as an initiate, point of evolution. We have him down as a 2.4.
And back in those days, he would have been close to being a master, surely.
Yes. Now, at one point in humans' evolution, the highest you could go was a 3. So, yeah, but he was a 2.4767. So, a ray 2 soul.
Yes.
But with a 4.
Yeah, but this is harmony through conflict.
Yes, and which is a feature of my life, by the way. So, and he's got two sevens.
Yeah.
Two sevens, but in between them are six.
Yeah.
So he had that drive for understanding and that drive for...
That's right, yes. Well, basically, I mean, all humanity is either Wraith 3 or Wraith 7 in the physical body.
Mm.
Yeah.
And on Plato, a two-degree initiate way
2.4.
Back, oh, 2.4.
Yeah.
All those years ago.
He's up there.
All those centuries ago.
Yep.
Here's what Helena Blavatsky, founder of the Theosophical Society, says from Isis Unveiled. She considered Plato to be a very highly developed human being because his sole purpose in life was to seek truth and to help others to seek truth for themselves. Blavatsky also said that Plato was an initiate. She said he had been trained in the mystery schools. So through his own direct experience, he knew the nature of the cosmos. He understood its laws and especially the role of the human being in the whole scheme of things. Blavatsky says Plato concealed deeper mystical doctrines to avoid violating the strict secret oaths of the ancient mystery schools.